go ahead and call the meeting of the Transportation Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, February 24th, and we do have Senator Betty Davis, Senator Pascavan, Senator Meyer, and Senator Menard, and myself, Senator Kukesh. So we'll go ahead and go on to the first order of business, which is the Senate Bill 111, an act related to the duration of a certificate of compliance for an intrastate air service provider. And Senator Olson, it's his bill. And would you please give your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tim Benintendi, and I'm staff to Senator Olson, who apologizes for having a conflict right now. Senate Bill 111 would align two time frames which are currently officially out of sync. And I say officially because the department is already behaving in a manner that the bill would accommodate. Issued through DOT, certificates of compliance mandate that interstate air carriers publicly display certificates that show they have active liability insurance policies in effect. As written in AS0240020, they run for the calendar year. Valid policies held by commercial air carriers usually run for different time periods, which can begin and end at any time during the year. There is also the situation where new aircraft is placed into service at any given time during the year. And then, of course, the insurance policy immediately picks up there. New or renewed insurance policies which occur during the year necessitate that certificates issued on January 1st be renewed prior to December 31st. Likewise, policies issued during the year to be renewed must be renewed on January 1st. The certificates do not cover the entire insurance period. This circumstance wastes time and money for all parties, especially staff time at DOT. SB 111 would dispense with the January to December time frame and allow certificates of compliance to float with the carrier's insurance policy period, basically saying any 12-month period. This bill is supported by the Alaska Air Carriers Association and has no known opposition. Bill carries a zero fiscal note, and we have Ms. Christine Klein online, who's the Deputy Commissioner for Aviation. Should you have any questions, and certainly I'll be happy to answer any that you might have.
Any questions from members of the committee for the presenter this morning, this afternoon, I mean? No? You have anything more to add on this?
No, sir.
It seems fairly simple.
Yes, sir. That's pretty much it.
It's a housekeeping item more than anything. No opposition?
That's correct, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman.
All right. What was the name of the individual online?
Christine Klein.
And she's just here to answer questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wonder if she might have a statement, though. Christine, do you have a statement you wanted to make in terms of the bill?
Good afternoon. Yeah, this is Christine Klein, the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Transportation. And I think the characterization of what this would do was very accurate. We would simply like to ensure that the statute matches what we are doing, and it will help both our customers as well as ourselves here in the DOT.
Great. So you're in support of the bill?
That is correct.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your presentation. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Okay. Is there anybody else online? Can you just give me a name?
Sitka has some people with LIO.
We'll go to Sitka LIO. And is there anybody in Sitka LIO that would like to testify in favor of this very simple bill that we could get out in a couple minutes if you don't have a lot of stuff to say? Anybody over in Sitka want to say anything?
We're just waiting for F-69.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Joy Dornay, Alaska Air Carriers.
Joy Dornay, is it? Alaska Air Carriers, are you online? Not yet. Okay, I think we do have a letter from the Alaska Air Carriers Association in support of this bill, and it is in our packet. If there's nobody else online and there's nobody else in the audience who would like to testify, I'm going to close public testimony and ask for a will of the committee. It's my intention as the chairman to move it out to the next committee referral. Senator Meyer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move SB 111 out of
Is there an objection from the committee? Seeing no objection, then we are going to move this out. We'll take a minute to sign the document that we need to sign. And the next bill we will be referring to is Senate Bill 59. Actually, we could probably do that while we're signing the documents. Let's go to Senate Bill 59, an act relating to the operation of a low-speed vehicle. Senator Sedman's office will come forward. And we did have this as a full hearing in the last meeting. We did have some objection from the administration. I asked the senator's office if they would work with the administration to see if they could resolve the objections so that we could move this bill out of this committee. And I'd like you to introduce yourself for the record, please, and state your affiliation and tell us whether or not you were able to work out a compromise.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Darwin Peterson, staff to Senator Stedman. At the direction of the chair, we did work on a committee substitute that's now before you. With your indulgence, I'll briefly walk you through the changes that we made in this committee substitute.
Could just before we do that, could I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute for the purpose of a working document?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Menard.
I would like to move that we, as a working document, use CS for Senate Bill Number 59-26-1S0280/S.
Okay, thank you. That motion is made. Is there an objection to adopting the committee substitute? If not, we are working with dash S, which is a committee substitute.
Thank you, Mr.
Please
Chairman.
Please proceed.
Uh-huh. In Section 1 of this bill, as the drafter created it, is maintaining existing law, which is a prohibition of vehicles, low-speed vehicles on highways with a speed posted of 35 miles or more. And that maintains the existing law. It's still an opt-out for municipalities if they choose not to allow that. Section 2 is where we've expanded it to allow to allow municipalities to opt in if they choose to allow low-speed vehicles on their roads with speed limits posted of up to 45 miles per hour. Section 2D on page 1, you see that's the opt-in provision for the unorganized borough. We're opting in for the unorganized borough in Section 2D. In Section D2, municipalities with a population of less than 25,000 that are not connected to the road system between Anchorage and Fairbanks and that have passed an ordinance would be allowed to operate low-speed vehicles on their roads up to 45 miles per hour.
Great. Any questions for the presenters this afternoon? If not, do you have anything more to add?
Mr. Chairman, we do have Mr. Jerry Luck up here from Ledge Legal, who's worked with us on drafting this committee substitute. If there's any technical questions, he'd be happy to.
Okay. What about somebody from the administration?
I do believe there are people from the administration, too, the same people that testified last time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, please. Thank you very much for your testimony. We'll ask the Department of Administration to come forward. Your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Healy. I'm the chief engineer with headquarters design for Department of Transportation Public Facilities.
Kurt Smith, traffic and safety engineer, DOTPF.
Okay.
Greetings. I don't want to repeat too much of my past testimony. I touched on concerns about difference in mean speed, and the current bill addresses that, and that by all accounts it maintains existing law within municipalities. The current drafting of the bill, we have some concerns in just intent of where this bill is intending to go, and our department has contacted the attorney generals as well to get their read on it. But in Section D1, the way we are reading this right now is that areas outside of the state, outside of municipalities, would allow low-speed vehicles. This would allow, in our reading of it, low-speed vehicles on areas such as within the contiguous road system, of Delta Junction, Nenana, Glen Allen, I believe, where we do not promote a mix of very low-speed vehicles and vehicles of trucks, high-speed vehicles intermixing. And I think a minor modification to that could address that. And we really, I do not believe it's the drafter's intent to include those areas. Okay. But I think it is something that needs to be addressed.
Did you have the opportunity to bring that that item up with the drafter or the sponsor?
It was in a phone call early this morning, so.
Okay. You have anything else to add? Otherwise, if that little portion was fixed, would you be supportive of the bill or not opposed to it?
I believe one minor modification to Section D would accommodate us as well. In the current language, if you look at the difference between paragraph B and paragraph D, the paragraph B is a may not operate a vehicle on a roadway of more than 35 miles an hour. The paragraph D is a may operate a vehicle on a 45 mile an hour or less. We would be more comfortable with the may not language in paragraph D, because we basically view this as allowing low-speed vehicles on highways of 55 or 60.
I asked if you would work with the sponsor. Obviously, you didn't work with the sponsor, or you didn't talk with them. I was hoping that you guys would all come in here and have language that you all agreed on. Why didn't that happen? I mean, this seems very simple.
We were just able to review the bill, the current language, and
okay,
got together last night.
If there's no objection from the committee, I'm going to send this back to the sponsor and to the administration to work that out. I don't want to spend that time in committee trying to work it out for you all. So if that's all right with the committee sponsors, the bill sponsor, we'll just do that. Let me ask you again, if you would please get together, try to resolve this. It's a very simple bill, seems to me, very specific to areas in the state. Let's just get it done, and I don't want to spend any more time on it. So if there's no objection to the committee, I'm going to hold this bill and ask that the work be done on it. With that, we're going to take just a brief at ease here. Thank you. Go to Senate Bill 51, an act relating to the installation of window tinted automobile. Senator French, would you please come forward and join the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Would you please state your name and affiliation for the record, and you may present us your bill, if you would.
I will, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate. With me today is Andy Motoro, who is the staffer in my office following this bill.
And just for the purposes of doing this, I'd just like the committee to know it's not my intention to pass the bill out today. I know we have a conflict of another meeting. We'll have a hearing today, and if everything's fine, then at the next committee referral, I will ask the committee their wishes on this particular bill. So without objection, Senator French, I'd like to have the hearing and at least get that out of the way, and then we'll have the discussion. And then we'll spend the rest of the day on discussion if we have to. But committee members will have to leave and come back, so I just as soon have an understanding, first off, that we're not going to pass this out today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I am likewise in the same position of being overbooked, but Mr. Motor will be able to stay here and answer questions you have for the bill sponsor. Mm-hmm. I know we have a state trooper here, Lieutenant Rodney Dial, who is very knowledgeable about this, and I'm probably going to let most of your questions, if the will of the committee, be directed to him, who can probably explain the details better than I can.
Great, thank you. And for committee members, if you have to come in and out, please feel free to come and go as you have to for the next committee, and as long as I'm here, we're going to continue, for the record, having the hearing on this particular bill. So, Senator French?
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll just give you a brief history. This bill came to me from the Spinard Community Council and concerned members of that community who were concerned about the presence and the prevalence of vehicles traversing their neighborhood with darkly tinted windows. The person that first brought this to my attention is a pedestrian. She lives in the neighborhood. She walks frequently. I mean, she's a regular person with a car and a job, but she just said, you know, I'm walking down the streets and these cars go past me. I can't see who's inside. I can't see if they see me. It makes me nervous. Can't you do something about this? You know, it's illegal to have these windows on your car, but she had done a little looking into it, as citizens frequently do, and she said, but there are businesses out there that install these dark tinted windows, and that's not a crime. It's okay for them to put this illegal product on a car and send the car out into the street. And, you know, if you went to the source, you know, you could probably cut down on this. And that was how this began. This bill was in front of the legislature last year. It didn't get through the process, as many bills do not. I said I would start the process again, so here we are in front of you. In essence, the bill does just what I've explained to you. It says that the people who operate businesses that install window tint will be held to the exact same standards as people that drive on the highways. If it's illegal to drive with this product, it's illegal to install it. And it would, in essence, make the individuals who then install this product eligible for an infraction, a traffic ticket, just like the driver would get on the highways. And that's really the sum and substance of the bill. You'll hear a lot from the troopers, you'll hear a lot from the people that oppose it, but from my perspective, it's a community effort to make the streets a little safer and a common sense effort to make the laws uniform, both in the shops in Alaska and on the street.
Okay. Questions of the sponsor? Senator Meyer.
Yeah, just briefly, what is the infraction?
The infraction, through the chair, Senator Meyer, is, I believe, $150 fine if it's the driver of the car, and I'm looking for the exact place here.
It's going to be.
I looked at it yesterday. Beg your pardon. Here we go.
Your name for the record, please.
Andy Motor, a staffer, Senator French. Through the chair, the statute by which this is authorized is 2890.010C, and that authorizes fines up to $300 to be put in through regulation, I believe, in fulfilling the policy. It should be noted that the violation of driving with window tinting over the limit is in the administrative code and not in the statute. It's authorized by statute.
Through the chair, yes, Senator Meyer.
So it would be a fine for $300.
Correct.
Thank you. Want to follow up anything?
No.
Any other questions from members? Yes, Senator Davis. Yes, please.
I think that that's a good way to handle that. But the one concern that I would have, some people have medical excuses and they can have tinted windows. So how would you address that? You go to the place and have those tinted windows put in there. I guess they should bring a certificate saying that you're supposed to have them. Or is anything in the bill going to address that?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, I think the process would be exactly the same. If you have a medical exemption to drive a car with darkly tinted windows, that same exemption would get the installer off the hook. That is, you'd not be interested in penalizing someone for doing a legal act. So that would be my intention, and I think, as Mr. Motoro just pointed out, much of this is done by regulation. We'd be just setting a statutory framework in place and let the regulation wizards figure out the details.
So you don't think it needs to be anything in the bill itself to say that should someone present a certificate saying they have an exemption to that?
Through the chair, Senator Davis.
They could install the tinted one.
You know, I'm at the will of the committee. If the committee believes that it should be an amendment, we'll get one drafted up between now and the next hearing. I think it's clear, but I think it's a fair point.
That's fine.
I,
Senator Menard?
I think it would be helpful if that language was in there.
Well, we intend to hold a bill till next time anyway, so it may be a good idea to look to add a possible amendment on it, or another CS maybe, just to include a medical exemption.
Thank you, Senator. I'll take that as direction. Thank you.
Okay, good. Anything else, Senator Pascal?
No, just so that you understand, I spoke with Mr. Podgewood earlier today, and you know, he provided me with this, which shows the 35% tinting that he says is part of his business he installs, and then he, you know, this is, I think, the illegal tinting that obviously he does not install in his business, and then he has some pictures where it shows that 35% where you can see in with the emergency lights through it, and I'm just trying to find out, and I know, I also understand, like, I have a Yukon XL, and in the back windows that has tinting that's even darker than this, that is manufacturer approved, which I don't really have any control over. I think it's preempted by federal law. I'm just trying to get your thoughts on that.
Through the chair, Senator Pascal, SUVs come under a different set of rules, and that is federal law that does preempt ours. But this is aimed at passenger cars, and the so to your point about the window tinters, you know, feeling like 35% is okay, but the dark tint is illegal. That's their position, but just so you and the record is clear, that's not what the law is now. The law is that basically in Alaska, the tint that comes from the factory is about as dark as you are allowed to have installed. And the 35% tint is illegal. It's illegal to drive with that. You can be cited and be forced to pay a fine for driving with that tint. So please don't be misled that they think that's okay. And I think you'll hear from Trooper Dial a perspective different than that of the installers.
Okay, good. Any other questions for the presenter? Yes, Senator Menard.
Just for information, have you had an opportunity to see what we've been provided with? I mean, as far as the other side of the argument?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, I've met with the installers in the past. I have not met with them this year, but I'm fairly up to speed on what it is that they're
Through the chair, yes, Senator Menard, would it be appropriate to give?
Well, actually, I think he probably has an extra one he could give you.
Senator Menard, through the chair, I actually met with Mr. Boswood today at 12:30 when Senator French was in another meeting. So we do have a copy of that already. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions for the presenters? Do you have any more comments you want to make before we move on? Okay, thank you for your presentation this afternoon. We'll go now to on a sign in Mr. Bosworth. Boswood. Yes, would you please take the chair and state your name and affiliation for the record and give us your testimony, please?
My name is Bob Boswood. I'm the president of Auto Trim Design of Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, okay.
A 25-year business in Fairbanks, Alaska. We do install window film, and we have since 1989. My argument isn't with SB 51. I really feel that dark films should be made illegal to be installed. My argument is with the original law, okay? It's too light. There is a medium ground that is a sellable commodity that provides both a cosmetic enhancement for the vehicle, as well as it blocks the sun's glare, and it is safe. If you look at my packet, that shows a vehicle that is tinted all the way around with 35% window film, and both in daytime and at night. Standard procedure for troopers, if I'm not mistaken, is to light up a vehicle, as they say, when they pull them over at night. At least I know that's what they do in Fairbanks. And so I had a police officer come and we lit up this vehicle with this film on to see how visible you could see into the vehicle with this 35% medium window film on. This 35% window film is actually copied, modeled after Washington State's regulation. We kind of thought that was a good state to go with. It's a medium film. In the trooper's documents, everything that they have negative against window film talks about dark window film. Senator French's statement, his sponsor statement, talks about dark window film. Mm-hmm. The community people that his constituents talk about dark window film. And I know a lot of people don't understand the percentages, so I won't even go there. What we're asking for is to amend the original regulation to allow this industry to survive, and it's not hundreds and thousands of jobs, it's a few jobs. It's a small percentage of it's a small profit center for these businesses. I don't have an idea what Anchorage is doing. I know that in Fairbanks, we regulate ourselves. We will tent no darker than the 35% window film. It's proven to be a safe commodity in other states. There is no evidence of any police officer ever suffering any injury or harm with a car that was tinted with medium window film. And it speaks here about the officer couldn't smash the windows out. Well, you know, a lot of the glasses that was manufactured by the in the vehicles today is a structural entity of that vehicle, and that if the vehicle rolls over, the glass is actually keeping the vehicle from collapse at the roof collapsing mm-hmm. these days. In a lot of those cases, they're requiring laminated glass on that. So that there may be some arguments there as to whether they'll ever be able to break those windows out. I'm just here to point out that there is a middle-of-the-road solution to this problem that will allow my business to survive. I can tell you this, that with the current economy, I cannot take a hit with this. I'll have to do some restructuring within my business if I lose this profit center. And I'll have to lay some people off, and it's just going to hurt. I don't want to sacrifice money for the safety of the police officers. I'm 100% behind them, but they're misleading. And when they tell you that 35% window film is unsafe and for their safety, I have police officers in my area, at least, both troopers, UAF police, North Pole police, Fairbanks police, that I took my vehicles around to, and they're all in agreement that they don't see a problem with the 35% window film applied on the vehicles. All I'm asking for here is the middle ground to allow our industry to survive.
A question, Senator Menard.
Through the chair, I would ask you, first of all, I want to commend you for the wonderful booklet you put together and in-depth presentation. You've been very strong on your feelings, and you've certainly been able to articulate that and get that communicated to us in our office. But would you be happy if they would simply remove the word dark and have medium? Would that be one of the corrections that you'd like to see?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, the actual regulation states the percentages, if we could just change those from 70 and 40% to just say 35% all the way around a vehicle, would be totally happy. I'd have something I could sell. It's not too dark, but yet the customers would still want both the cosmetic as well as the solar reduction. Now, the troopers' arguments about the heat and glare, Fairbanks has more sun than most of the states do combined in the summertime. And the glare reduction, both from a safety standpoint and a comfort standpoint, is important. So.
Questions? You want to follow up?
Yeah. No.
Oh, Senator Davis?
Mr. Boswood, at the present time, you have tenant windows at the 30%. That's what you're doing.
Through the chair, Senator Davis.
In essence, though, you are in violation of not what they're trying to do in this bill, but what's already in statute.
Through the chair, Senator Davis, the car owners are in violation, but every customer that comes into our shop, if I did all the tint work that comes into my shop, I do about 25% of the customers that actually come and seek tint from me. Okay, because I won't tint any darker than the 35%, and I make them sign a waiver saying that they understand what the Alaska state regulations are and that this is not in compliance with the regulation, but this is as dark as I will tint it. And they go, well, that's not dark enough. And they go down the street, and they have these backyard guys that's going to do it. SB 51 is not going to eliminate the installation of dark film on any windows. People are still going to have it done. The criminal types are still going to have the tint done.
The intent of the Senate Bill 51 is to have a penalty to the person that installed that.
Through the chair, yes,
that's
ma'am.
That's all this bill is doing.
Yes, ma'am, and I'm aware of that, and If they pass Senate Bill 51, I have two employees that will lose their jobs, and I'm going to lose a significant amount of profit within my business to where I will have to restructure and lay some people off in addition to that. I don't know how many people, but all I'm trying to illustrate is that there is a middle ground. Troopers' information in here, I've reviewed it. I'm very knowledgeable in the window film industry. There's some errors in there. I'm not going to point fingers at it, but all I'm asking for is a common sense medium ground to allow this car to be tinted at 35% and allow me to stay in business.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee? Thank you very much for your
thank
testimony
you
today. I'd like to call Lieutenant Dial up and just remind people who do have another committee assignment, you're certainly welcome to go ahead and go to those committees. We're just going to continue the hearing. Okay.
Thank you.
Your name and for the record, please.
For the record, my name is Rodney Dial. I'm a lieutenant with the Department of Public Safety. And the department supports Senate Bill 51. What I've done is I've prepared an overview on the Alaskan federal laws concerning tinted windows. And if I could just by start off saying that when you see something that refers to tint, it is the opposite of what is referred to in statute as visible light transmittance. So a 35% tint essentially blocks 65% of the light coming into the car. So it's not blocking 35%, it's actually blocking 65%. So just wanted to point that out. Currently under Alaska law, you can have your front windshield, you can have a 5-inch strip of tint on that tinted to pretty much any level. That's called the eyebrow. That's not regulated. You can have the front driver and passenger side window. They can block up to 30% of the light coming from the outside or the inside through that glass. And that's referred to as a 70% light transmittance. That's how much light's passing through the glass. All of the rear windows must allow at least 40% of the light through. There are some exemptions, special use vehicles, limos, SUVs are one of those. And then special use vehicles must comply with federal law. Federal law basically, all it really specifies is a minimum amount of light that must get through the side windows immediately to the driver's right and left, and also the windshield. It doesn't give any other requirements for the other windows. Regarding other jurisdictions, these statistics vary from time to time, so when I put them in here, I would just say that they're approximate because they do change. I really can't keep up with what all the other states are doing. But when I put this together, at least 13 other states have similar or more restrictive laws than Alaska. 90% of the Canadian provinces have a similar or more restrictive law. And then you can go down there and see kind of a breakdown of some of what the other states allow. And as a general rule, the hotter the climate, the more window tint that's allowed. The one thing that I've pointed out in the past that I feel is important is for our motoring public, if we change our standards at all, these people now have vehicles that are essentially illegal if they drive them through most of Canada and many of the states in the lower 48. The next page, I put some points in there that I felt were important about tinted windows and the comparisons with sunglasses and how sunglasses are regulated. And I think most people would agree that it's probably not a safe thing to wear sunglasses at night. However, when we talk about tints, especially a tint that's rated at 35%, if you're putting that tint on a window that is already tinted from the factory, you're not just blocking 65% of the light, you're blocking 65% of the light plus whatever the existing tint is on that window already. Now, when I did this research, I could find no examples of cars coming from the factory with zero tint. It's just not cosmetically appealing. I mean, if you can think of that, it would be like a clear pane of glass. And for the most part, you won't find that unless you go looking at old cars that came off the assembly lines many years ago. So most cars have tint on them already. So if you now allow more tint on, what you're doing is you're really doubling up the tint that's on that vehicle. This next page on common filter colors, I just got this off the tint industry website. And when you see, when they talk about light gray, which transmits 35 to 40% visible light, that really is 65 to 57% tint. I mean, it's tint and visible light transmittance are the opposite of each other. So this just kind of gives you an idea of common filter colors that can be applied to vehicles. The next couple pages, it was just days before that I put this presentation together. I was able to pull this up on the internet, and it really talks about how some police officers are trying to track down some homicide suspects. The first problem that they run into is witnesses have a hard time identifying who's in the vehicle because of the tinted windows. The next problem that they have is when the officer finally stops the car and goes up to the car, he can't see who's in there. And at some point, trying to gain entry into the car and get the individual out of the car, he's breaking on the window and he doesn't even see that the individual is in there, and aims a AK-47 through the glass, shoots him through the glass. It has been a concern of law enforcement for decades regarding tinted windows. The stress level for an officer in the field who's pulling over a car at night, especially in a rural area that has no street lights, you're really, the best that you can hope for is to react to whatever situation you're faced, because you cannot see in that car. And yes, we do light those cars up, and yes, we do carry flashlights, but a lot of times that's just not illuminating the interior of the vehicle to an extent where you can adequately see what's going on inside. And that's why it's extremely important for law enforcement. And I don't know who the gentleman was referring to about law enforcement officers that think that we should change our tint limits, because I've not met any. And this is the third year that I've worked on this project. There's also many examples online of other problems caused by tinted windows. It appears in my research that communities are actually going towards more restrictive requirements, not less restrictive requirements. And you'll see in a lot of the major cities where if something bad happens, a lot of times it's due to lack of visibility. Once there was an incident here in Chicago where police officers weren't able to see what a person had in their hand. They thought it was a gun. It turned out to be a cell phone. Numerous examples of criminals who were not identified because witnesses could not see the driver through the tinted windows. Collisions with motor vehicles and pedestrians. And once again, this is especially a concern in Alaska due to our remote and rural roads that a lot of times have no street lights. And, you know, I don't want to read everything because I know the committee is short on time, but there are some other things here in the next few pages that some concerns that have been mentioned by many people regarding tinted windows. Now, the next couple pages regarding are my tint examples. And the one thing that I would caution the committee is when you see a tint film and it's up against a piece of paper, just realize that's completely different than a car that's tinted trying to see in it in a low light situation, because unless there's inside illumination coming out, what you're really doing is you're filtering the light a couple different times before you actually see it. Light entering in the vehicle is filtered and light exiting the vehicle is filtered as well. So it's really not the same as holding up a piece of tint to a white piece of paper. But anyway, this one here regarding the Nissan Maxima, that top image is a legal tint. And the one thing I would also point out is you can see that this picture was taken on a sunny day, and you can see in the upper left-hand corner there's a shadow of what I think is a tree. So the sunlight is actually facing in this direction. And even with that that legal amount of tint, you can see how it does darken the interior of the car. And now that's legal in this state. Now, the next one would not be legal, and obviously the bottom one that's generally reserved for limos. That gives a pretty good example of the different types of tint. These are the next couple pages are just real-life Alaskan situations here taken in Ketchikan, Alaska. And I took them at the same time during different angles so that you can get a different view depending on where the sun was in the sky. However, this Ford Explorer here is 5%, it allows 5% more light than what is required. However, there is no commercially manufactured amount of tint that could be legally applied to this far. I think the installers have commented previously that no one would buy it if you could do it. It looked like a clear piece of plastic. So, and then the next one is a Dodge Durango, and once again, it's most factory vehicles come from the factory with a certain amount of tints on there. So it just kind of gives you a different look at that. Once again, here's a picture from the Tint Industry website. This car, the front driver and passenger side vehicles, windows would be legal in Alaska. The other vehicle windows would be illegal. Some reasons why we should not change our current laws regarding tint standards. Our current standard, as I mentioned before, assures that our Alaskan citizens don't get a ticket, essentially, if they drive out of this state. Most Canadian provinces have the same law that the state of Alaska does right now. To give a little information to the committee, approximately 3,000 citations are issued each year for tinted windows, about 1,200 by APD, about 1,000 by the troopers, and then the other agencies around the state. So it's a significant amount. And when I've personally stopped many of these people before, I've never once heard somebody say, well, they told me that it was illegal, but I decided to do it anyway. And I know, I trust that this gentleman's doing this. He seems like an honest guy, but I can tell you there's certainly a lot of shops that are under no requirement to provide that notice, and they don't. Because a lot of people tell me that, they get quite upset that they've spent a lot of money tinting this window, and now I just gave them a correctable citation that they have to remove it. And as anybody who's tried to remove that stuff from the windows can tell you, it's horribly hard. It looks like you took a weed whacker to the window, and it tends to screw up these vehicles. We also have an increased visibility concern here for the driver, pedestrians, certainly law enforcement officers. And I would ask that you consider supporting this if for no other reason. This is going to save the people in this state a lot of tickets, and it's going to save us a lot of time from issuing them. It just seems somewhat wrong to be installing this, knowing that the car is illegal. They're going to drive down the street, and the first time an officer sees this vehicle, they're going to get a citation and have to remove it. And I guess I'd like to close by saying it's my experience that most people tint windows for reasons of vanity, and that, you know, most vehicles now come with some tint. So the argument that we're doing this to prevent sun damage or to lower the heat in the car, I think that's minimized somewhat. And I really don't think that the vanity concern would outweigh all the other concerns. So with that, I'll just close and answer any questions that you might have.
Members of the committee have any questions for the presenter? No, thank you very much for your presentation this afternoon. Do we have anybody else online?
There's someone in the Fairbanks LIO.
Okay, let's go to the Fairbanks LIO. Is there someone there who would like to testify?
Can you hear me?
Yes. So your name for the record, please.
My name is Steve Benson from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Do you have an affiliation you want to state, or you're just speaking for yourself?
I'm the general manager of Auto Trim Design in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Okay, go ahead and give us your testimony if you would.
Well, I first want to apologize because I kind of came in the middle of the testimony, so I was listening to pretty much the back end of the last person that testified, so I wanted to address a couple of things that he had to say.
Okay.
First of all, regarding police pulling over vehicles, and I am not unsympathetic to the dangers that our law enforcement officers face on a daily basis. But I guess my question there would be, if I was approaching a vehicle and it had dark tint, or it had factory dark tint in the back end and the officer couldn't see in, why they don't ask them to roll down the windows? The second thing that I wanted to bring up is that the gentleman was speaking about an Explorer that was illegal. Explorers and Durangos fall under the MPD definition, which is allowed to have basically as dark a tint as they want to on the windows past the driver and passenger. And the reason for this, to the best of my understanding, is that if falls under the model of using panel vans and things like that if it wasn't allowed. Their delivery vehicles was the idea behind it. Another thing that I wanted to bring up is that tinting a window, in addition to lowering the heat, and I didn't hear any statistics on whether the gentleman knew exactly how much it could lower the heat inside the vehicle or how much UV it would block, but also applying window film to a window stops glass from shattering in the event of an accident. Not always, but it certainly helps a lot. The other thing that I wanted to bring up real quickly is that I don't think that Alaska should be modeling our laws after that of foreign countries. I think that we should take a look at what our sister states are doing down in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, as opposed to out of a foreign country. And that's the extent of my comments. I certainly appreciate the gentleman allowing me to testify.
Yeah. Could you tell us, just in your own words, whether or not you support this particular bill, Senate Bill 51? I understand your rationale on your comments, but we have a bill before us that we're considering Senate Bill 51.
That's correct.
And do you support or?
Not as written, no.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the presenter? Seeing none, thank you for your presentation this afternoon. Is there anybody else online? No? Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to testify? Seeing none, then we're going to wait for an amendment that Senator Davis had requested that you consider, that be an amendment on mandatory exemptions for health reasons, I believe is the way we were thinking of doing it. And we'll have that come up for the next committee. If you see nothing else before this committee, then we're going to be adjourned. Thank you very much.